Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd?
Yes.
You take that personally when you read that?
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. No want. Another translation says no lack. I shall not lack. I shall not be in lack of any good thing. Glory be to God. A life of no lack. That's what the Lord has for you and I as we follow him as our good shepherd. In other words, we let him be out in the lead. He's the one leading us. He's the one guiding us. We're not the ones leading the way and asking God to come along and bless everything we do. We're looking to follow his plan for our life. We're looking to follow him. He's the good shepherd and his sheep know his voice and they follow him. We are led by him, led by his spirit. And if we are, he leads us into a life of no lack. Amen. Now, like we talked about last time, when we talk about lack, having no lack, many times people right away think about financial lack, not having any financial lack. They look at material things. And they think about being materially taken care of, having every need met, and there being no lack in that area. Well, of course, you go through the scriptures, and that is God's will for our life. God doesn't want us struggling in life. He wants us to be fully supplied, fully funded, so that we can abound to every good work. That word abound also means overflow, that we have more than enough, and we're overflowing to every good work, not just a few good things, but we can do whatever it is in our heart to do because we've got the money. We've got what we need to do it. That is God's will for our life. He doesn't want us in lack financially, but that isn't the first place that you and I should be looking when we're thinking about living a life of no lack, because we know prosperity for a child of God is from the inside out. Everything starts by faith in our spirit. And the thing that we care about more than anything else is the condition of our spirit, the condition of our lives. And we don't judge the condition of our life by looking at the things we have. We look at who we are. Who we are, what kind of character do we have? What kind of integrity do we have? And so we were going through the scriptures and we were looking at a lack-free life in the area of character, in the area of spiritual things first. First, the kingdom of God, first, his righteousness, and then all these other things are added unto us. All these other things are important, but they are all add-ons. All right? They're the things that follow us. We're not looking for those things. Those things follow us as we follow the good shepherd, and walk even as he walked. We want to walk. To follow him means to walk like him. We're imitating him. We're following in his footsteps. We're doing things the way he would do it. And so we looked at how we are not to lack in the area of discretion, in the area of good judgment. These are all things we talked about last week. We're not to lack in the area of good judgment or good sense, or we could say common sense. The scriptures all that we looked at in Proverbs and other different places that talked about lacking common sense and the problems that it causes. A lack of instruction. We should not lack for instruction. I mean, we've got God's written word. We've got Life of Faith Bible Church. We've got all kinds of resources to hear the word of God, to receive spiritual instruction from God. So we shouldn't lack in instruction. See, that's what we're talking about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. What is the first thing we think of? A lot of times people think of their, you know, their paycheck. They think about, you know, not having enough money. They lack finances to pay a bill. That's what they think right away. No. Are you, number one, are you lacking in discretion? Do you lack good judgment? Do you lack common sense? Do you lack instruction? Do you lack self-control? Self-control. We don't want to go through life with a lack of self-control. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not lack control over myself. I have control over myself. Why don't you say that? There should be no lack of control because the Lord's our shepherd and he gives us control over our lives. He gives us control by his spirit. He gives us control over our flesh. He gives us through his word, he gives us control over our thoughts. So we shouldn't lack self-control. The Lord is our shepherd. We shouldn't lack patience. Shouldn't be a lack of patience, faithfulness, generosity. We shouldn't be stingy people. If you're a stingy person, then you lack generosity. Well, that'll keep you from prosperity. That'll keep you from prospering materially in life if you're not a generous person. So we got to look and say, you know, if I'm lacking in natural things, I need to look to the spirit, I need to look to spiritual things for my answer. The answer to natural lack is to look into spiritual things. How am I doing spiritually? Am I lacking in the area of generosity? Am I withholding finances where I should be giving and being a blessing? Because by being stingy and holding your finances back or lacking self-control, lacking patience, lacking discretion, lacking all these different things, that's going to cause us to suffer in natural areas as well. It's going to cause us to suffer in a lot of ways in life. We looked at scriptures in Proverbs where it talked about some of these things, or a lack of discretion can cost you your life. It can cost you your life. Not just a prosperity life, but just living. Cut your life short. So we want to make sure we're growing in these areas. Over in James chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking zilch, lacking nothing. Don't you love that? How would you like to live a life of no lack? Well, that's what the Lord, our shepherd, is leading us into. He's leading us into a life without lack. How's he going to help us get there? By helping us to develop patience. Patience. See, that's a fruit of the Spirit. As we develop that fruit of the Spirit, it's going to affect us naturally in life as well. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, it says in verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory or rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. There it is again, just like he said in James. So we're going through a test. You know, it doesn't feel good. The flesh feels like crying. You know, you're going through a hard time. The flesh feels like just bemoaning and groaning and complaining and whining. But on the inside, there's a rejoicing because we know that the Lord's our shepherd and he's leading us into victory. And as we continue to follow him, everything that seems to be against me is working for my good. And that's not true for everybody. You know, things that are working against you aren't working for everybody's good. It's working for the good of those who are going through those trials, going through those tests with their eyes on the good shepherd. their eyes on what he has promised, their eyes on him, their hope, their faith is in him. And as they have their hope in him, as they have their faith in him, they know that as they go through this thing is turning around for my good and for the glory of God. So even though they're suffering outwardly, inwardly, there's a rejoicing that is sustaining them and strengthening them, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. So we've got this inward strength rising up as we're going through outward things that seem to be against us. As we press through hard times, we're just getting stronger. We're becoming battle-hardened. I like that. Battle-hardened, you know, where you're just not afraid of the battlefields of life anymore. You know, you just go through stuff, and it doesn't matter what kind of explosions are going off, you're just walking right through it. Because you got confidence on the inside. You've been battle-hardened towards the conflicts of life. They don't break you down. They don't cause you to quit. They don't cause you to fall apart. You only get stronger. Do we have some people that are getting stronger in here? Do we have some folks dealing with some trials and tests, but you just keep going through them and overcoming and getting stronger and stronger and stronger? Amen. Just get up. Praise God. All you got to do is get up. If you just lie there, then you lose. But if you get up, you will be renewed. You will be strengthened, and you will win and come out better than if you hadn't even gone through it. And you'll actually look, you know, there's some things that I look at in life and I think, man, I would never want to go through that again. But I'm so glad I went through it because of what happened to me in the process. God became more real to me. Faith became more real to me. The promises of God became more real. It became more a part of my life. I came out of it stronger and better as a result of going through it. So it wasn't fun going through it. Wouldn't want to do it again. But I thank God that I did go through it because of the work that it worked in my life. Amen. And so we just learned to rejoice. We learned to laugh at conflict. We just look at problems and go, okay, hallelujah, praise God. We rejoice. We give God praise. We give God thanks for the victory that we know we shall see very shortly as we persevere. So again, notice he says, Romans 5:3, and not only that, but we also glory, rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. Character. Here James talked about perseverance producing patience. Here he talks about it producing character. Because you don't have any more character than you do patience. When your patience runs out, your character ran out. That's as far as you are in character development. That's pretty serious. Because we're talking about you. We're talking about your guts. We're talking about your spirit. We're talking about who you are. So, you know, if you get impatient, that's a sign of a lack of character. Everybody say lack. Say, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not lack. Character. That's right. So we have what it takes to persevere and grow in patience. And thus grow in character. And then after character, he says something else. He says, character, hope. Hope. And we know Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, before there's faith, there's hope. So, but we see here that before hope, there's character. And character before that, perseverance, right? So we got perseverance, character, hope, faith. So you don't have any more faith than you have character. Isn't that something? When your patience runs out, your faith ran out. Because faith isn't impatient. Faith doesn't sit there and go, I can't believe this. Faith does not fall apart like that. Faith has character. Faith has patience. Faith has a strong spirit, or a person of faith has a strong spirit. A strong spirit. And that's what we want, because you are a spirit. You are not a car. You are not a bank account. You are not a house. Right? You are a spirit. You have to take care of your spirit. You have to make sure your spirit is getting stronger. You're growing in patience, growing in character. You are getting better and better and better in trials and tests, and getting up and getting back in the ring will all help you to grow spiritually, will all help you to grow in character. And of course, I love 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, where he says, verse 5, but for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, that don't sound like a good place to be at all, does it? No. So we don't want to have any lack in any of these areas. We want to develop in all of these areas, and thank God the Lord's our shepherd. And we shall not be in want of faith. We shall not be in want of virtue. We shall not be in want of knowledge. We shall not be in want of self-control. We shall not be in want of perseverance. We shall not be in want of godliness. We shall not be in want of brotherly kindness. We shall not be in want of love. We're going to abound in these things. Overflow in these things. Now, he says, if you lack these things, you're short-sighted. You can't see very far. You can't see very far. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't handle it now. Remember that? He said, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. And so in other words, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you, you are going, your capacity to be able to see and to understand is going to be greatly increased. So by receiving the Holy Spirit, we our capacity to see the kingdom of God and understand spiritual things and to walk in the light in this life is greatly increased. But if we don't add, if we just focus on natural things, if we don't focus on developing our spirit, if we don't focus on growing in these areas, look what he says will happen. You'll begin to lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. It'll begin to fade. And now your spiritual vision will begin to diminish again. And you can go back even to the point where you're completely blind like you were before you got saved. That's a scary place to be. You still got the label Christian on your head. You still attend church. You still understand Christian lingo, right? You still know how to put on a church face and do all churchy things. But you're blind as a heathen. Why? Because you've drawn back. You've drawn back. You've drawn back. So we don't want to draw back. We want to go forward. Somebody say, I'm going forward. I'm following the Good Shepherd. See, the only reason why people would lack these things is because they're not following Jesus. How do I follow Jesus? Follow his word. Follow his instructions. Follow what he says. If we're not following him, we're going to lack these things. If we're following him, we're not going to lack anything. The Bible says, those who seek the Lord understand all. Praise God, we're going to be able to see far distances, far off, see great and wonderful things, life-changing things. How many people know there's a big difference between a blind person and a person with great vision? I want to have great vision, don't you? I want to be like that eagle. You know, I want to be like that eagle. I can see that snake from afar. See? And just swoop down on the thing. You know, it's time for us to start sneaking up on the devil. Too many Christians let the devil sneak up on them. We need to sneak up on the devil. He would catch him by surprise. He doesn't know everything. He's not God. We can catch him by surprise. He can turn around and go, "Ooh." You know, I did that to him one time. I mean, I'm sure I've done it more than that one time, but one time I know it for sure. I was newly saved. I was only saved like, you know, it was in the first year, I think, of being saved. I was driving down Jerusalem Avenue in New York. And I went past this wooded area, you know. And as I was going by, I had my windows down. It was a summer day. And, you know, just a deserted road. I'm driving down it, you know, that time of the day. And all of a sudden, this fear came into the car. I mean, I just suddenly, out of nowhere, I just felt fear. And I don't know, I think it was kind of connected to the woods. It's kind of strange, you know, just came out of nowhere. Well, it was, to me, it was so obvious that was not my fear because it just came out of nowhere. I thought, this is the devil. But I didn't say that. I just knew that. I thought, this is the devil. So I was just driving in my car a little bit, you know, and I started acting like I was afraid. I gripped the steering wheel of the car and started acting like I was afraid. And then I went, "Jesus!" And man, I scared that spirit of fear. I mean, it was so strong. It just felt like he flew out of the car and just went running into the woods. And I actually reached my head out the window and started laughing at him. It was just that real to me. Hallelujah. Spook the devil. Sneak up on him. He doesn't know everything. Thank God if we got discernment, if we can see, if we got spiritual vision, and we're not spiritually dull, then we have the edge over our enemies. We need to have the edge over our enemies, not walking around blind and being taken advantage of. So we're not going to lack any of these things. There's no excuse for it, if the Lord's your shepherd. In other words, if the Lord's leading you, if the Word of God's leading you. Does the Word of God lead you each day? You get up, you get in the Word, you look into the Word. You know, people have questions about things. And they say, "Well, what do you think about it?" Well, it don't matter what I think about it. What does the Word say about it? Because, you know, God's Word covers everything. There's a Word for everything. And you can just go to God and say, "Well, what does the Word say about it? What does the Word say about it? Well, what does the Good Shepherd say about it?" See, that's what we're really saying. That we're following Him, following His guidance and His wisdom in life. We threw out our opinion when we got saved. Our opinion was buried with the old man. Now we live our life based on the Word of God, governed by the Word of God. So say it with me, a righteous life is a lack-free life. Righteousness covers everything. That's why he said, seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. You know, something people miss over in 1 Peter chapter 2, and this is a scripture that is quoted very often when people are looking for healing, when they're dealing with sickness, they're dealing with infirmity. It says in 1 Peter 2:24, who himself, talking about Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, a lot of times you hear people say, well, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. That's a physical thing. We're talking about physical healing. Thank God, it's God's will for us to be healthy physically, just like it's His will for us to be wealthy materially, well taken care of materially. It's His will for us to be healthy. It's a physical thing. Seek first His righteousness, all these other things, these natural things that you have need of will be added unto you. Well, we see it right here when it comes to healing, when it talks about living a healthy, healed life. Notice, he says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Everybody say, live for righteousness. Somehow that gets lost That gets lost. We just get to the part where it says, by whose stripes you're healed. By whose stripes I'm healed. Wait a second. There's something that comes before that. That's even more important. Because it's spiritual. And it has to do with your character. Has to do with your integrity. And it's living for righteousness. Living for righteousness. Well, you look up the word righteousness in the scriptures. I looked at the Old. I looked at the New Testament. It means justice, fairness, honesty, morally right, having integrity, virtuous, purity of life, honorable, respectable, of a good reputation. That's what it means, respectable. Of a good reputation. And then it even means this, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, prosperity. Prosperity. Talking about righteousness. Talking about prosperity, talking about success, affluence, wealth. So this is what these are some synonyms for righteousness. How many people know you and I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Ooh, hallelujah. Notice that. Jesus took our sinfulness so that we could be the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, we're just like him. Fair, honest, morally right. We have integrity, virtuous. We live a life of purity. We're honorable, respectable. We have a good reputation. And we're prospering. We have success in life. We are the rights. This is what we are in Christ. This isn't just what we have. Let's look at it again. 2 Corinthians 5:20. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin. See, Jesus didn't just take our sins. He became our sins. He was made sin or sinfulness. He was made our sin. He was made a sinner. Think about that. He was made a sinner. That we might become. That we might become, not that we just might have. Now here's me, and this is something I have. I have a microphone in my hand. I have a microphone in my hand, but the microphone's not me. I have it, it's in my hand, I possess it, but it's not me. He's talking about actually becoming the righteousness of God. Becoming the righteousness of God in him. So we've been made this spiritually. We've been made righteous and all that word means. Now, according to 1 Peter 2:24, we need to live for righteousness. Live for it. Why? Because it's everything. God is a righteous God. And he's given us his nature, his very nature. And he's a righteous God. And he's given us his righteousness. This is what we have. It's the greatest thing, because if you have this, if you don't lack in this, you won't lack in anything. You'll abound in everything. I mean, it's the source, the root of every good thing. It's the foundation to every good thing. So this is what we are looking for. This is when we're talking about not lacking, we're talking about not lacking in righteousness. So that means in order not to lack in righteousness, we're going to live for this righteousness that he has made us in spirit. We're going to live according to the spirit. We're going to live out this righteousness that's on the inside of us. We're going to work this thing out. We're going to grow this. We're going to develop this righteousness. We live for it. And in living for righteousness, healing comes with the package. By whose stripes you're healed? You live for righteousness. By whose stripes? Now listen. I didn't say you've mastered righteousness. You've perfected it. But you are living for it. I mean, you might have just messed up today and really showed you might have put forth a great display of a lack of patience, a lack of character, a lack of common sense, good judgment, right? You might have been unjust. I mean, you stumbled, you made a mess. But if you made the mess, what is the first thing you're going to do? You're going to repent. Why? Because that's not what you're living for. You tripped, you stumbled, you fell, you lacked some vision, you lacked the light, right? But that's not what you're living for. I know what I'm living for. I'm living for the righteousness of God. I live for righteousness. And because I live for it, healing belongs to me. Healing comes with the package. Divine health is mine. Say healing comes with living for righteousness. Amen. And really the truth is, why be healed and live if you're not going to live for righteousness? I mean, if you're going to live for something else other than righteousness, well then don't live. Get out of here. If you're going to live for unrighteousness, bye-bye. We don't need you here. You do nothing here but cause problems. True? Right. But if you live for righteousness, we want you here. Now, like I said, you might flip-flop and you might stumble around, but if you're living for righteousness, you're going to master this thing. Because we know practice makes perfect. And we see over in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. He says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So notice that. It doesn't say, whoever does not live perfect in righteousness is not of God. No, he talks about practicing. See, we're living for it, and therefore we're practicing it. We're practicing it. You know, you think about a baseball player. He gets up, and every professional baseball player has struck out multiple times, even as a professional ball player. And yet they're still considered a professional ball player, even though they have swung and they have missed so many times. You know, Babe Ruth is known for all these home runs that he hit. He hit the most home runs, you know. He was known for that. What people didn't know is he was also leading the league in strikeouts. So he was always going for the big one. And he struck out. He led the league in strikeouts. Think about that. But he also led the league in home runs because when he connected. So for him, it was all or nothing, right? It was either strikeout or get a home run. That's how it was for Babe Ruth. Well, see, he wasn't perfect, but he was professional. You and I are professional Christians. We are practicing righteousness. And you might swing and you might miss, but you don't quit the game. You don't drop your bat and say, kick it. You pick the thing up and say, we'll get you next time. And you just keep coming. You just keep coming until they kick you off the team. Until the coach fires you. The coach says, that's it, you're done. And aren't you glad our coach is long-suffering? He's the good shepherd. I'm so glad he's not looking to throw anybody off the team. He's not willing that any would perish. I mean, he's working with us. And you think about all the people that go to doctors that are practicing medicine. They go there, they let these doctors cut them open, do surgery on them, do all this kind of stuff, and they'll tell you right to your face, now I'm practicing. Where's your practice? I practice over here. Here's where I practice, and you are the one I'm practicing on today. Everybody say, practice righteousness. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, concerning the word of God, that for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. See, God's word is like it to a mirror. Well, when you look at a mirror, what do you see? Your neighbor next door? No, what do you see when you look at a neighbor in a mirror? What do you see? You see yourself. Well, God's word's like it to a mirror. When you look in the mirror, what are you supposed to be seeing? You, and you are the righteousness of God. And that righteousness is being revealed to you as you look in the mirror. As you look in the mirror, you're getting to know the righteousness of God, which you are. And as you get to understand righteousness, get to understand who you are in Christ Jesus, then the more you can walk it out in your life, the more perfect you can be at walking in righteousness. So the righteousness of God is revealed to us through the word of God. And notice he goes on, he says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. So notice, as we get in the word, righteousness is being revealed to us, so that now our faith in the righteousness of God is growing, and we're going from faith to faith. We could say from righteousness to righteousness. I think it says something like that in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, but I have to confirm. No, it says the same thing. Romans 1, verse 17, it says, for in it, again talking about the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Same scripture. So we're going from faith to faith. See, it's a growing process. We're growing in this righteousness. So we've become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're growing in this righteousness as we're learning of this righteousness, as we're practicing this righteousness, because we're living for this righteousness. It's what we live for. It's what we live for. We're not living for our job. We're not living for our family. I live for my kids. That's what I live for. I really feel sorry for you. Let's live for something a whole lot higher and deeper and greater, and that's the righteousness of God. And that'll help your kids too. Praise God. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, and talking about increasing righteousness, growing in righteousness, he says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown. He's talking about financial giving. You put it in its context, read the chapter. He's talking about giving financially. He's talking about sowing monetary seeds. And he says, may he supply and multiply the seed you have sown, increase. May he who supplies and multiplies the seeds you have sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. So notice, again, this is a part of practicing, giving, being generous, as we are practicing generosity. How do you practice righteousness? Practice generosity. Be a giver. Be a giver. As you're giving, again, this is all part of faith. This is all part of character, building your character, growing in the love of God. And people know love is a giver. God's love is a giver. Brotherly kindness involves giving. I mean, you go through all the fruits of the Spirit, and a lot of them, you can see, would involve giving. So faithfulness, goodness, kindness, all these things involves giving. So giving is a big part of practicing righteousness or growing in righteousness. So he says, God's gonna supply you with finances to give, and he's gonna multiply the seeds you've sown And while that's happening, even more importantly than that, because we hear about that a lot, we hear about give. What you give will come back to you. Yeah, but even more than that. You giving finances, yes, that will come back to you. That will be multiplied back to you. Yes, absolutely. But it's all in connection to your righteousness, the fruits of your righteousness being increased. The fruits of your righteousness being increased. And that's what we're living for. We're not living for the money. We're living to increase in righteousness. Increase the fruits. Increase the fruits. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now that's one area in your life where you can be fruity. Other than that, no. But this is one area you could be fruity. It's in righteousness. Lots of fruits of righteousness. Can you say amen? Amen. Somebody say, thank God for righteousness. Now you understand, to be righteous is to be in right standing with God. It's to be in sync with Him. To be right with Him. So if you're right with God, then there is no sense of inferiority or condemnation about you whatsoever. You can approach God boldly. You can approach God confidently, knowing that God hears you. God answers your prayers. The problem in the world today, and how it's been since Adam, is that man has not been right with God. Man, even Christians, don't realize that they've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Most of them still preach the gospel, hear the gospel from a place of condemnation. They still see themselves as old sinners. They'll tell you that. We're just old sinners. Saved by God. You're not an old sinner. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's what the Bible says about you. You're not an old sinner. But you see, think about it. They have this old sinner mentality, which is what? Which is a condemnation mentality. Which is an inferiority complex mentality. They're inferior. And it brings them into bondage. It hinders their faith from working. It hinders them from having faith in God. It hinders them from having faith in themselves. It hinders them from having faith in the Word of God, having faith in others. I mean, it just stops their faith from working. They can't even live by faith. And they go through life feeling like little worms. And unworthy. I'm so unworthy. I'm so unworthy. When God has made us worthy. He's made us righteous. He's made it, put us in right standing with Himself. So stand up. Lift your head up. And declare, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not an old sinner. I'm not a loser. I'm right with God. I'm seated with Him. In heavenly places. That's where I am now. That's who I am now. See, we get this image of ourselves that's according to the Word of God. And man, what's that going to do to us in life? What kind of confidence are we going to walk in? How are we going to talk? How are we going to live our life? It's going to affect our lifestyle. It's going to affect everything about us. We've got to stop seeing ourselves as victims. And we need to see ourselves as righteous, right standing with God. I like what it says about Abraham. It says over in James chapter 2, verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Now think about that. It was accounted to him for righteousness. He was an Old Testament man. An Old Covenant man. That's who he was. And so righteousness was accounted him or accredited to him. In other words, he was righteous on credit. He didn't own it. The bank owned it. The creditor owned it. It wasn't his. It was borrowed. And yet, here he has borrowed righteousness. He has righteousness on credit. And that makes him a friend with God. How much more you, who haven't just had it given to you on credit, but you have actually become, this is who you are. You own this. You own righteousness. It is who you are. You are not just a friend. You are a part of the family of God. You are God's offspring. You have his DNA. Do you think he likes you? If he liked Abraham and said, "That's my buddy. That's my friend," what do you think he says about you? Now you need to know that. That needs to be revealed to you. You got to get this. You got to see this. You get a hold of this, it changes everything. You'll rise up and begin to grow in it. You'll begin to practice it. You won't judge yourself based on your missteps. You'll repent of those missteps. You will judge the missteps, but you won't define yourself as the person who messed up. You will define yourself as a friend of God, a member of Christ, born of God, righteous, in right standing with God, having no inferiority with anybody, because I'm not even inferior to God, because I've been made right in his sight. I mean, this gets so strong, some people are uncomfortable even talking about it. But we can't be uncomfortable about it because it's gospel. It's the word of God. It's what we have. We need to get a hold of this. This has to be revealed. We got to get this. Because it wipes out all inferiority. It wipes out all every sense of condemnation. The Bible clearly says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. A lot of folks can quote that, and yet they're still living in condemnation. They're still living in inferiority. I'm worried about what they think. I'm worried about how they feel about it. I don't know. And they're sin conscious, and they're victim conscious, and they're weakness conscious, and they're problem conscious. And so as a result of that, they're inferior. They have an inferiority complex, and they're weak. Man, we got to get that washed off us through the water of the word and see in the mirror of the word who we are, what we've been made to be. And then as we see it, we'll speak it and we start practicing it, walking in it, and we look for more of it. We feed on it. I mean, we eat it up. This is our food. We're putting it in us. We're putting it in us. And as a result, the fruits are coming forth. The fruits are coming forth. The fruits are coming forth. And we don't get down if we fall down. If you fall down, you bounce back up. You jump back up and say, "Bless God, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's not me. I judge that. I condemn that. I'm not condemned." Right? Because he said, "You judge himself, won't be judged." So I judge that sin. I condemn those actions. I'm not condemned. I'm the righteousness of God. Isn't that powerful? I mean, you can flip-flop, fall down, jump on your feet, and declare, "I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I judge that. That's not who I am. I repent of that. I turn from that. I condemn that. I condemn that behavior right now. By repenting of it, I condemn it. I'm judging it. I'm not judged. I'm righteous. I've already been declared innocent. I've already been declared to be in right standing with God. Whoo, hallelujah, I'm still his friend. I'm still a part of the family of God." See, we just bounce right back up. We keep going. And the devil comes and he trips you up and he finds a weakness in your flesh and he distracts you from who you really are. He distracts you from the reality that you're the righteousness of God, and he gets you thinking something else about yourself, and whoop, you slip, you fall. And the next thing you know, you just jump right back up. and tell the devil, don't rejoice over me, devil. It is written, a righteous man may fall seven times, but he will rise again. But as for you, destruction. That's all that's ahead for you is destruction. So don't rejoice over my fall, because I'm standing now. And I haven't diminished in righteousness. In fact, my jumping up caused me to get some stuff out of my eyes that I didn't even know was there. I didn't even know I'd fall like that. I didn't know I was weak like that. You know, I was short-sighted. But now I've repented and I've been cleansed and now I can see further. And it's going to be a whole lot harder for you to get me to fall into that one again. It's going to be a whole lot harder for him to trip you up again because your vision's getting better and better and better. Isn't this awesome? This is how we think. This is who we are. This is the secret to total success in every area of life. Understand you are the righteousness of God in him. Because sin consciousness, people that live with this sin consciousness, they're held in bondage. And it keeps them a slave to sin. And I'm talking about Christians still living like slaves to sin, held in the bondage of sin, in condemnation. They don't have this sense of righteousness about them. This sense of, I've been justified. I'm in right standing with God. I'm clean. I'm holy. I'm part of the family of God. They don't have that. And they need to wake up. They need to wake up to that reality. They need to wake up to that reality. That's why he says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. He says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He's talking to the church. This is pathetic. He said people are flip-flopping around in sin because they don't have the knowledge of God. They don't realize they are right. Wake up. You're the righteousness of God. It's like an alarm clock. You know, you're sound asleep and the pastor's telling you, awake. You're the righteousness of God. Some of you are looking at me like, I must be dreaming. You're not. Wake up. It's real. It's just too good to be true. It must be a dream. It's not. Don't make me come down there and pinch you. I will wake you up. You've got to wake up to this reality. He's just saying, wake up. Wake up. What are you sinning for? Wake up. If you knew who you were, if you're awake to these things, just awake to these things, you wouldn't be doing that. The only reason why you're flip-flopping in that mess is because you're sleeping. You're not aware. You're not aware of who you are, what God's done in you. You have forgotten. You're short-sighted and you've forgotten some stuff. Wake up. Throw a bucket of water on you. Because if you're awake, this is who I am. This is who I am. Man, I fell asleep. I was dreaming, and I fell asleep. I was only dreaming that I was a sinner, and I was an old this and an old that, and I was just dreaming, you know, that I was in this condemnation. I was over here in la-la land. But now, man, I'm coming out of it. And I'm seeing it. And you see yourself righteous, guess how you're going to act? Righteous. So if you're not producing the fruits of righteousness, what do we know about you? You have forgotten. Or no one ever told you. And you're sleeping. You don't have the knowledge of God and you're sleeping. Wake up. And let's stay awake. If we stay awake spiritually, then we will enjoy living a righteous life. Praise God. Say, wake up. Turn to somebody. Say, wake up. Wake up. You're the righteousness of God. Say it with me. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. I'm holy. I'm right. I'm good with God. I'm seated with Him. Far above all sin, all demons, all devils. I'm a friend of God. Part of the family of God. Anointed of God. I'm with God. God's with me. We are one. There is no fear, no inferiority in me at all. I am bold as a lion, because it is written, the righteous are as bold as a lion. I'm bold. I'm confident. I'm powerful. I lack nothing because I'm righteous. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I lack nothing. Oh, thank you, God. Hallelujah. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.